Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Preds going for win number 9 in a row tonight as they host the Montreal Canadiens. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our man Willie Donick, of course, of Caroline Willie and D-Mace, and the Bally Sports TV broadcast as well, with the beautiful music in the background. Willie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys today?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Willie, this has been a lot of fun to watch. You've gone from a lot of people thinking you're out of it and you could be sellers at the deadline to rolling off 8 wins in a row and Novak getting a new contract, and we'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But, I mean, right now they're scoring goals. Saros is playing great. You're getting contributions up and down the lineup. It's a lot of fun. What have you thought of the 8-game winning streak, and how do you think they've been able – to turn this thing around as dramatically as they have?
Well, I think you go back to when you were saying it was looking like they were teetering on slipping out of the playoff race, even though they were never really behind more than, what, 2 or 3 points on the worst day, maybe 4 it got to. But during that time, I think you were seeing a team that most nights was – giving themselves a chance to win in terms of how many chances they were getting, how many they were giving up, but they weren't finishing very well. Nothing was really going in, and they weren't getting anything more than about average goaltending from UC Saros, which was crazy. For, you know, half a season to see him where he was statistically was unusual. But now you're seeing both those things flip. They're getting contributions up and down the lineup with everybody chipping in. You know, that's the stat that's rolling around. 16 different players have scored during this winning streak. And UC Saros is now playing his A game. And you see what a difference that makes. So put those two things together and you got a red hot team.
So, yeah, apart from Saros, Willie, everything else that's going on with this team since that Dallas loss, how much do you look at this as the things that are universal in terms of just effort, focus, you know, cohesion, all those things? And how much do you think is it – how much do you think is sort of like the system really settling in and people kind of figuring it out?
I think the system is a huge part of what they have been able to do. And you guys know me. I am a big, big John Hines fan. I think he is an excellent coach, but – I have to say that I have been extremely impressed with just the way that Andrew Brunette's system gives them a chance most nights. Here's the stat that I think illustrates it for me. Last year, they were outshot by 10 or more shots in a game 23 times during the season. You guys can remember that, right? There were a lot of games down the stretch where UC Saros had to make around 40 saves to give them a chance to win. That's only happened 9 times this year. So even when they play teams like Colorado, like we saw the other night, they're not getting outshot by wide margins. So they're able to, like Andrew Brunette says, keep the puck, attack. The best way to defend is to keep the puck in the other end of the ice. I think they've really picked up on the nuances and gotten better at it. And there's no better example than Roman Josi, I don't think. But I think that's really what has been the foundation. And then when the puck's going in for you, you know, you're starting to get a lot of offense. They've never had 8 straight games where they've scored 4 goals ever, and that's what's happened right here.
So, Willie, you know, Novak gets his deal yesterday, 3 years, $10.5 million, and it's been an interesting process following his contract situation because there's just not a ton of comparables for the career path that he's had to this point. Obviously, he's really gifted offensively, and he ends up with the $10.5 million deal over 3 years. What did you make of the deal for Novak and what it could mean for him and this group as they move forward here?
I've been – that comparable thing is a really good point, Robbie, because go back to before he got injured early in the season, when he started doing some nice things. The team wasn't doing great, but he was kind of showing the same signs he did last year when he turned it on about mid-February. And I'm thinking, here's a guy that's about 40 or 45 or 50 games now where he's close to a point per game. And I'm thinking, what's the next contract? Because last year, if you remember, they extended him for 1 year for $800,000. And I think by the end of the year, they were thinking, man, we should have extended him for a couple years. We could have got him locked in for maybe twice that, but it would have been the best bargain in hockey. So they So they were kind of kicking themselves retrospectively. But look, you got to give him a lot of credit. He has earned that next contract. He's got a unique skill set. I know you guys were kicking around just like I was when Elliott Friedman said he could get $4 million on the open market. I was like, ooh, that sounds a little steep. But then when you dive into some of the numbers, he's kind of a specialist. He's not a guy that's going to be a face-off guy. He's not a guy you want to go up against the true number one or two centers in the league in the defensive end. But he's got that unique playmaking set of skills. The analytic people absolutely love his underlying numbers. And so most of those people think it's a bargain to get him at $3.5 million, which I think doesn't blow your budget up, even if he doesn't develop into a true top six guy. If he gets you 50 points a year, wherever he is in the lineup, that's worth 3.5 for sure.
All right, back to Saros, Willie. I think we'd all agree we expect him to be with this team next week, you know, beyond Friday. But you may disagree with us. We've been talking for a long time that, you know, the choice has to be made, I believe, pretty soon in terms of, you know, what your future is at goaltender between Saros and Askarov. So, first of all, do you disagree with that? And if so, please make your case.
I do disagree with that. Now, they may find the right deal for one of them at some point along the way. But my case has been this. I just go back through Predators history. UC Saros, from ages 21 through 23, was the full-time backup for three consecutive years under Pecorine. Three straight years. And they had arguably the best goalie tandem in the league for that long. I don't think Yaroslav Askarov, from all the people that I've talked to, as great as he's been, is anywhere close to being ready to be a starting goalie in the league. The mental stuff that you have to have is just so hard for somebody at his age. And he is a special talent for sure. But I always equate it to a pitcher that's got – he's got the 98 miles an hour fastball. He's got the electric slider that explodes. You know, he's got all of that stuff. But that's different than getting outs every night that you're out there asked to pitch. So I think they could hold on to both. That's just me. I might be in the minority there. But the question to me is going to be, what's the next deal for UC Saros? You just saw that Tommy Novak took less than what he could get on the open market. Can they get a reasonable number for UC Saros' next contract? I know what I'm getting in UC Saros, and I think UC Saros could be the centerpiece goalie of the next great Predator team, which is what they're trying to build. And I just know what I'm getting from him. I know he's going to be prepared physically. I know he's got the right mindset. And I think for the next 4 or 5 years, he's one of the best goalies in hockey. I like having that on my team if I'm Barry Trotz.
Okay. So you're paying him then. So let's play that out. So you're going to pay UC Saros whatever it is. I mean, I think it's got to be around 8 AAV, but maybe you think potentially less than that?
Yes.
Okay. But not a lot less than that, right?
I could live with eight. The salary cap's going up. But how he plays from now until the end of the season might tinker with that number a little bit, right? It could go higher if they pull off a big upset in a first round and he is carrying them, that affects what that number is going to be. Okay. But I just know UC Saros is one of the best goalies in the world right now. He's finished in the top six the last 3 years in the Vezina, and he's only 29.
Right. But given all this team's other needs, wouldn't you then – in terms of asset management, need to move Askarov to help yourself rather than have – I mean, it's not the same. This is not the Rene Saros situation. On both ends, it's not the same.
Well, Pekka was 34 years old.
Yeah, Pekka was in the twilight, and Saros was not a coveted goalie prospect. He became a great player eventually.
Pekka was not in the twilight. Pekka was a Vezina Trophy winner while Saros was the backup.
Right, but he was 35 years old. Saros is 29.
But what difference does that make?
I'd say it makes 6 years of difference. I mean, you're talking about asset management, Willie.
Saros is the same age. Saros was the same age as Askarov is now. And Saros was the backup at age 21 22 and 23 before he even started to take starts away from Rene. And that was a two-year process,
right,
where he started to take starts away. So it's a long growing development period for Ascara. And somewhere along the way, if you find a great deal for Askarov, then yeah, absolutely. If somebody's willing to give you the number one center or the budding star, that's exactly what you need on your roster, then absolutely. At that point, you would consider that. But I think until then, take the two good goalies. You've got five first round picks playing in Milwaukee right now, and you're keeping Novak. So you've got a lot of prospects coming through the pike in the coming years. So I think you just have to, my point is, you have time. You have time to wait for the best deal for your team.
Willie, on the Cody Glass front, so, I mean, we all know it's been a tough year for Cody Glass. It was really cool to see that happen on Saturday and the reaction after the game. I'm curious, like, from watching him play and knowing that confidence, you know, can be a big thing in professional sports, how much can a game like Saturday night, do you think, help him moving forward down the stretch here, seeing three go in for him and the response from the crowd and everything that's gone into it after what's been a tough year for him?
He's an important guy. And when you look at Novak and Glass in particular, and I would put Carrier in this mix, and this is what I think Barry Trotz has to consider here, because it's so hard not to get swept up in the emotion and the excitement right now. And you saw it with Cody Glass, the way the fans reacted to him. For your Barry Trotz, you have to be able to compartmentalize that with the big picture and say, can Novak be a part of the next excellent Predators team, the next team that really has all of the pieces that to make a deep run? And I think he thinks the answer is yes. Cody Glass is also in that mid-range, so that high 20s. You've got Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. Those guys are in a window now. If they are your foundation, your nucleus of veteran players, you know, the next two or four years, they're going to age out a little bit. They're not going to be able to do what they're doing right now. So you need to have that influx of younger players that's starting to pick up the slack. That's where Glass and Novak are at a huge stage of their career. And I would throw Carrier in that mix too, if they're thinking about keeping him, it looks like they're certainly considering that. Because then you've got all those young 20 players that we don't know what they're going to be exactly. You don't know who's going to turn into a really good player and who's going to maybe not quite get there. So you need guys at all stages of the career. That's why Glass, I think, is so important. So it's nice to see that. The fans, the way he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve is endearing to a lot of fans. And now he got some results there. His game, if you look at the last few weeks, it looks much more like the game we saw at the end of last year. So that'll be something to watch for. Does he get that boost of confidence now? And can he give them what they hoped he would give them before the season for this last 20-game stretch?
Willie Preds going for win number 9 in a row tonight. Montreal is, I believe, 1-5-2 in their last 8. That scares me. It scares me a little bit, looking at their last 8 games. We'll see if the Preds can respond to that.
They're tricky. They're trying to build back. Right, they had to break it down. They've got a couple of young players that they're building around. They're feisty. They took the Predators all the way to the wire up in Montreal. They've got this kid Juraj Slafkovský, who was the first pick in the draft, who they threw right into the fire last year, which was probably a mistake. And he's starting to figure it out. He's still very, very young, but he's now starting to know what to do with his talent right now. And they've got Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki. So they've got a first line of young, really exciting players. But the Predators, I think you're going to hear a lot from them today. Just keep doing what they're doing, regardless of the opponent. Can they take the same game into tonight that they took into the game on Saturday against Colorado? And that's what you have to try to do. If they do that for 20 more games, they're going to win their share.
Well, Willie, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. We'll be listening at 11 o'clock today and, of course, tonight on the broadcast as well, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Willie Donick, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds going for 9 in a row tonight. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight, going for win number 9 in a row. and we're here for you here on the program. We got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Preds and the Canadians tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Rapid fire, caller 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Canadians tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Text line coming up to Willie a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Chip from Mount Juliet. Willie drinks Preds Kool-Aid. I mean, the Preds are like on a heater. Is that like it's like.
They have won 8 in a row.
Yeah. It's not like it's like, wow, what's wrong with these Preds? Willie's like, well, guys, everything's okay. I mean, they're like the hottest team in the NHL. But Trevor says, Preds, Homer, Willie, can't say anything objective about the team. With the way Willie's talking, he won't bring Askarov up until he's 30. What a joke. You guys are being a little rough on Willie. However, I very much disagree with his take.
Yeah.
It's
hard for me to get there with the timeline of the two.
Pekka, he's right. He won the Vezina in 2018. Less than 2 years later, he was no longer the starting goaltender of the Nashville Predators. He was getting bridge deals at the time. You're talking about UC Saros, 8 years, eight. AAV, maybe 7.5, I guess, maybe, okay.
Well, does Willie think he can't get an 8, he's not going to get an 8-year deal? That I guess would be another question. Like, does Willie think that the Preds can sign him to a 4 or 5-year deal?
If you're his agent, then you're, okay, bye.
That's the thing. Like, I find it hard to believe he couldn't get a 7-year deal on the open market if he becomes a free agent.
So the Preds signed him to an 8-year, he's about to turn 29 a month, 8-year deal, you know, taking up about 8. In the cap and go until he's about 37 years old. You know, again, let's also go back to the comparison of Saros and Rene at the time. Saros was a heck of a story, and wow, in 16, 17, wow, look at this kid. He's good. And he went on from there and kept developing, and he benefited, I think, from those years. But every story is different. And Askarov, before he ever becomes a full-time NHL player, is a prospect of note that I think you could potentially get assets for, totally sure. Unlike what Saros was.
Well, it's different. He's a first-round pick.
And I just, to me, like, you have so many other needs. I don't even know if I necessarily agree with what he said about Askarov needing all this time. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he's wrong about that. I just think that, like, I think you have to make a choice, and I think you have to get assets. And I don't know what the assets are, and they may not be as good as I think they will be. Maybe that we're seeing that with the fact that Saros is still here.
Yeah.
But I think that's bad asset management, period. I agree.
And look, you know, to me, it's also, like, if you're committing to UC Saros, then you're committing to UC Saros, right? Like, I mean, you're
– exactly.
Like, again, I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a long-term deal. Like, if it's 4 or 5 years, I think that'd be – I'd be surprised by it. Like, I think it's either going to be an 8-year deal here or a 7-year deal somewhere else. I mean, that's kind of how I viewed it the whole time. I mean, he is 29, so it'd be different if he was 27. I'd feel even better about that. But I think that's still what it's going to be. If it's less than that, then I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised by that.
I don't see how it is. I mean, you know, look, especially this year has been, I think, concerning. Right? I mean, a lot of the year, it's been his worst year
for sure.
As an NHL goalie.
As a starter, yep.
As a starter. And then you get into, we've talked about it, his game is so much about his athleticism, his explosion between the pipes. And as you get into the 30s, does age affect him more as a goaltender than some goaltenders because of his game and his size?
Maybe.
I don't know.
But he looks pretty darn good right now.
He looks like vintage Vezina-level UC Saros. So, It's a really interesting situation. There's so many different angles to it. But the I just can't get to, yeah, commit to Saros. And also, yeah, Yaroslav, you're a good backup for several years. And I don't – you've got – this roster is a long way from being the type of team Willie discussed there.
I think.
Right?
Maybe roll off 10-game heater before the deadline. Well, we'll see.
All right, so you got him winning the cup this
year. All right. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's move on from Willie's take to your take that the Preds are a contender.
All right. Preds are planning the parade as we speak right now. Now, I mean, look, this is a conversation that regardless of what happens this week, I mean, at this point, I'm going to be very surprised if there is a goaltending move one way or the other this week with those two, with Askarov and Saros. So, I mean, this is going to come up again in the summer. It's going to come up until – I mean, it's going to come up until a decision's made, right? I mean
– maybe it won't be.
Even if they sign Saros, then the follow-up question is, all right. So what are you doing with Askarov, right? I mean, this is going to be a thing that lingers
heck of a backup
for a while. So, and look, maybe Barry Trotz views it the same way. I mean, maybe Barry Trotz says, you know what? I love the idea of having two goalies into the future that you feel great about, that you don't have to worry about that position. Maybe he does view it that way. I don't know. I don't view it that way, but maybe he does. And then, you know, are you splitting start? Because that's the other thing. Let's say you go that route. Is Askarov playing enough to continue to develop if he's the backup and you got that tandem? And let's say that he is. Let's say he is playing enough and he's playing 40
That's an expensive split-time goalie, well, UC Saros.
Why are you giving UC Saros $8 million a year if he's playing, you know, 45 games?
But if you played them both at the same time and went with four skaters, would you ever give up a goal? I think not.
Probably not.
Let's think about this from every angle.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. Phil and Frank. Well, we should get to Phil and Franklin in a minute. He has an interesting point about how Preds fans should feel about this.
We'll do that. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Nashville Predators coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus get your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. This week's special guests are Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Joe, you had a Preds question on the text line that you wanted to get to.
I hate when I do that and then I lose it. Oh, by the way, it was Cheryl Swoops, thanks to the text line for that later, who was talking about the COVID year with Caitlin Clark. Phil and Franklin says, if the Preds sign Juice to an 8x8 or anything close to that, Preds fans should be mad. Honestly, that would be terrible on the back end. Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Phil. If, like, so Willie's talking about the timeline, as we've talked about, Forsberg, Josie. The timeline is, to me, the next couple years. 2 to 4 years, like Willie just texted us. I think that's a good way to look at it. So that's when, I mean, you know, this happens all the time in sports, right? I mean, you know you're going to pay for it at the end of a deal, but you're paying for what you're getting on the front end when you think that you can actually win a championship. So if you're all in on, look, man, if you tell me right now that UC Saros is essentially going to be the same goalie for the next 4-5 years, sign it. Sign the deal. I don't know that. I'm a little worried about his game and his 30s.
Well, look, honestly, like, I'm not even that worried about that. Like, there's concern there, and this year I think has highlighted that a little bit more than I thought heading into the year. Mine has always been about cost management. It's been about what's better. Is it paying UC Saros the $8 million or whatever it would be for that cap hit and going that way at goalie? Or would it be trading UC Saros, getting assets back for him, and going younger at goalie and having a more cost-effective goalie plan that maybe at first wouldn't be as good, but you hope grows into being as good as UC Saros at some point? And that's a heck of a risk to take. It is. Like, Askarov, as good as he looks right now, he might not be as good as UC Saros at the NHL level.
He might be better.
But he might be better.
I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not saying he will be, but I think he has all the traits.
Well, to dismiss that as a possibility of him being better ultimately, I think is ridiculous. The traits would suggest that he's definitely got a chance to do that.
And if you're starting to, and again, I don't know the timeline. Maybe Willie's right. Maybe because I've thought about the timeline a little more accelerated than he is. But I mean, I defer to Willie on that. But if he is going to be able to get there, let's say in 2-3 years, then you're in the same timeline and you can do a whole bunch more with your team because of the cap room. And also, presumably, you brought at least pretty good assets back for Saros, right?
Yeah. Well, look, here's what I'm about to say is probably not fair to Askarov, but it's the example that immediately popped into my head. So I hear what Willie's talking about with the, like, how long is it going to take? And, you know, Saros was basically the full-time backup for 3 years. You know, I think of Tampa, right? So Vasilevsky came up when he was 20 years old. He played 16 games his rookie year. He played 24 games the next year. And after that, they knew. They were like, all right, it's time. And they moved on from Ben Bishop, and he ended up being – he played 50 the next year, and he's been the starting goaltender ever since. I realize that comparing Askarov to Andrei Vasilevsky – is a very lofty comparison.
Another comparison.
Okay? So I get that. I'm just saying, like, not it's not always when a goalie's 24, 25 when he eventually figures out. There are guys that pretty early you're like, yeah, that guy can play at the NHL level. And that happened often. Like, it is different at goalie than it is forward, than it is at defense. Like, you very rarely do you see 20, 21-year-old goalies come into the NHL and play well. And that it is different that way. But it can happen. That's the first example I thought of.
I mean, Pecorine, Vezina winner, President's Trophy, 17-18. What if Saros was a starting goalkeeper in the NHL in that year or in 18-19?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he had great numbers as backup, right? I mean, the times when he played, I mean, look, 17-18, Saros played, let's see here. He had a .930 save percentage, okay? No, that's right. That's not right. I'm looking at the wrong stat sheet there. 17-18, he had a .925 save percentage. He only played in 26 games. In 18-19, he played in 31 games, had a .915 save percentage. So with the opportunities that he got, albeit limited, he was really good those 2 years.
Yeah,
so I don't know. What would that have meant if he'd started? I have no idea.
Yeah, like maybe it was perfect, and it set him up for 20 and then beyond, and it's exactly what you, but everybody's different, and it's just – I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit too enamored with the Askarov highlights and the personality and all that stuff, but I think he might be ready to be pretty special in not a terribly long time from now. Chris says, what does the bandwagon jumper Jared think? You know, he can just ask Barry, he has a first-name relationship with him, anything when he's on with him today. They are buddy-buddy. Jared's the reason for the streak. You remember that. I called it in the chat. Took him 6 days to claim he was responsible for the streak. Wasn't he all for the sell, maybe even tank just a month ago? He's not claiming responsibility for the streak.
Oh, he's a little bit.
Like, why? How?
Because he was in St. Louis when it all started.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. So it's like good luck charm stuff. Not like when he's like, well, what I said, yeah, that motivated the Titans to, you know.
Well, I don't know. Did they bring him in for pregame speech against St. Louis?
I don't know.
Hey, guys. Here's Jared Stillman.
They brought him for a reason.
Yeah, they did.
So maybe that's going to be the untold story. It's not you two. It's Jared's speech.
Dennis on the text line says, you don't know if Saros is going to be good for the next 3 or 4 years, but you know Askarov is going to show up and dominate?
No, that's the thing. We don't know. I'm not saying I know anything. But I like what I'm seeing from Askarov. You know,
a lot of this is about educated guesses too, right? Like that's basically what this is. If you're Barry Trotz, it's an educated guess of, you know what, I feel good enough about UC Saros and his track record to project forward and believe that he's going to be a great goalie in the league for the next 5 to 6 years, or I don't feel that way, and I love what I've seen from Askarov, and he projects to be a great goalie for us for the next 10 to 12 years. Like, that's what it is, right?
The bird in hand.
It's an educated guess.
Whatever. Yeah. And it's just that in this league – with this cap, which is more real than the NFL cap, man, there's a big difference in what you're going to have to pay Askarov for a few years and what you're about to sign up with for Saros. And that could be a difference-making player.
For
a
sure.
A difference-making scorer on your team. And that is the name of the game.
It could be a difference-making player with the cap room you save, and it could be a difference-making player with the return that you would get for trading Saros, right? Like, that's the whole point. Like, that would – if you decide to move Saros, you're doing it to build up your offense to a point where you feel like it can be lethal. I mean, with this system, with Andrew Brunette, with some of the players you do have in place, and Willie's right, they got a lot of first-round picks coming up, and you're hopeful that one or two of those guys are going to work out and be difference-making players. Not just decent NHL players, but difference-making players. And how many of them will? I don't know. I like what I've seen from some of them to this point, but that's what it's about, is roster management to get yourself to a point where you can compete for a Stanley Cup. And what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, because I feel like at some point there's got to be a big splash of the trade or free agent signing, and it's not just those young guys. But
I agree.
Maybe I'm wrong.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, You want a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game? We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to click.
And the shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The standings in the competition, the listeners have taken the lead at 13 correct guesses overall. Joe Rexrode in second place with 12. Nick Kieser with 9. And now the hottest player in Preds Pick to Click, Robbie Stanley. Two-game heater up to 6 in the competition.
Okay.
Kieser, you better watch out. I'm coming for you.
I'm shaking in my boots.
I'm sure that you are. A lot of sass. With that in mind, let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in John. John, good morning. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
My pick will be Forsberg.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, John. Philip Forsberg, the selection by John. I'm up first today, and this is an interesting one because Forsberg is clearly playing hurt right now. I mean, he can't practice. He's not been at Morning Skate for like over a week.
What's he have?
In practice yesterday. I don't know. My guess is
lower or upper?
My guess is lower.
Lower. Okay.
Otherwise, I think he'd probably be skating. But I don't know. My guess is lower. But he's still playing in the games. And he still is effective playing.
Tender ankle, maybe?
I'm going to go with the NHL's first star of the week. I think he's playing great hockey right now. Give me Roman Josi. I'll go Roman Josi for my pick to click. Forsberg, Josi off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click.
All right. Well, you know what? How often, you know, like whenever the Preds get a new guy, you know, he's going to score the next game. How often does a guy sign a contract and then score the next game?
I was thinking about that, too.
I'm going to go that way. Give me Tommy Novak.
Tommy Novak, the selection. Forsberg, Josi, Novak, Nick Kieser. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Give me one Colton Sissons. I think he's due for one. And I think especially here at home as well. I like Colton.
So Colton Sissons, this selection, made a great pass to Cody Glass the other night, by the way. Forsberg, Josi, Novak, and Sissons. Pick to click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Big one for the Preds tonight. They're taking on a team that they should beat. I wrote off the records earlier, and I guess I didn't know this until I looked at it earlier. Preds 8-0 in their last eight. The Canadiens are 1-5-2 in their last eight. It does make me a little bit nervous. It's like,
it's a classic.
The Predators have just a classic sleeper out there tonight against Montreal.
Trap game. Yeah.
Especially after dominating Colorado like the way you did Saturday.
Yeah, at some point, you figure there's a step back, a little bit of adversity, a little bit of coming back to earth. Maybe not, though. At what point, how many in a row do they have to win before you're convinced that they're going in Stanley Cup?
Get to 20.
All right, get to 20 and you
I'll write it down. Actually, they get to 20, I'll pick them to win. I'll pick them to win the cup here on the show.
You will actually start looking at the map on the parade route.
Yeah, I will.
Now, it's a good thing for them too. It's like they're in a good rhythm here in terms of game. You know, you get a day off. Like you said, they've been good with back-to-backs. That's coming up this weekend, but they've got it going, man. They've got it going. So,
they've established a good culture.
The culture. And this Saros-Skarov thing, the great thing about this is whatever happens, like until something does happen, it's just it's a great topic.
It is.
Because it'll occupy us for hours because it really is fascinating, the whole thing. It's really not easy. And the only thing that I reject is basically what Willie suggested earlier. I don't think that's smart at all. But maybe Barry Trotz is entertaining that too.
It's going to be really interesting. And by the way, I mean, it's deadline week. I mean, it kind of feels like with the 8-game winning streak, we've just forgotten about the trade deadline. You know, Novak apparently at one point was on the block, and now he's not because he signed the deal. What's going to happen with Carrier? I mean, we are 2 games away, and then, you know, you've got all of today, Wednesday, Thursday, and half of Friday, and there's your deadline. So I mean, I can tell you, Barry Trotz is taking and making calls. So what's that going to look like by the time Friday rolls around? And I don't know. I mean, if they do win these next two games and they get it up to 10, does Barry Trotz say, all right, I'll do it.
Just loads
I'll send you
up.
A third-round pick. Bring me some forward.
He loads up. What was the deadline? Was it 19 that Poyle loaded up? Little Wayne Simmons.
Simmons, and, Boyle, Granlund.
He'd already had Boyle a little earlier, but I still counted as a deadline trade. Yeah, that's right. And Fiala Granlund. Yeah, that was a big one. Real quick, Matthew Nashville, non-preds question. Job security more in jeopardy this offseason, Jerry Stackhouse or Kelly Harper? Definitely Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly Harper, I don't think your job's in jeopardy. I will say that, you know, it's been okay. It's been good. They're going to get in the tournament, but, you know, it's not what it was.
By the way, Austin Peay taking on North Florida tonight in the quarterfinals of the A-Sun tournament. F&M Bank Arena. Tickets are available at myfnmbankarena.com. So could be a cool environment tonight for Austin Peay. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.